Who's the best show here?
Best show! Best show! Best show!
Yeah! The Linux Night Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Oh boy, 181.
That's something right there.
Another week, another show. We're here.
Yeah, 181 times we've done this. It's getting incredibly long-winded, isn't it?
A whole lot of shows.
Yep.
Too many shows.
So you think?
I'm looking at the RC, man. We got a whole bunch of new names on there.
Yeah, we cycle a few in every time, you know. It's good to see the new people.
Definitely.
Like to see them come.
And it's good to see the regulars as well. Everybody, welcome tonight. Yeah. Thanks for listening in person.
Right, yeah. Oldies but goodies, you know.
Wait, who are you thanking?
Hanging out there in the IRC.
All the regulars on the IRC. All the live listeners. You guys rock.
Wow, here comes T.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Show's over.
It's all downhill, right?
Close the chat. I'm going to have to block all of you. All the IPs from the Netherlands again.
He's not in the Netherlands, dude.
That's right, in Denmark.
He's in Denmark. Very far away from the Netherlands.
That's right. I'm going to block all IPs from Denmark. Enough of that.
How's your week? Good?
It's pretty good.
Busy?
Not really. Busy doing things I shouldn't be doing, but...
Boy, you're lucky.
This is the first time I'm in the man cave, so if it sounds a little echoey, it's because it's bouncing around the walls in here.
Who's in the picks? Yeah, who's in your
Speaking
man cave?
Speaking of picks, Dan needs to get picks too.
Yeah,
I hear it's anybody in his man cave.
Very soon.
How many people do you have in your man cave this weekend? Christ almighty.
Link came by and Alan came by.
Yeah.
It was very nice of those guys to come help me out. I appreciate it.
They came by your man cave, huh?
Yep,
they came by the man cave.
Helped him move furniture into his man cave.
Yep, lots of furniture.
So how big, I mean, is it like a full-size room?
That's big.
That must be nice.
It's good size, man.
It's pretty much three-quarters the whole floor, say, same size as the first floor of the house. And the last quarter is a storage room and my furnace room.
That's awesome. You're a lucky guy.
Yeah.
Quite the stuff.
Link's got a dining room? I've got my dining room, and you've got a whole room to yourself.
Well, this is a family room. It's not just for me.
Put all your stuff's in it.
Yeah, all my crap is down here.
And there's a sign out in the door that says no women allowed, right?
Yeah, Little Rask is lettering.
He-Man Woman Haters Club.
He-Man Woman Haters Club.
No kidding, man.
The new TV came this weekend, man. It looks pretty.
Is that in your man cave, too?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of TV?
There's a little issue. I got a Hitachi 51-inch.
Okay. Flat screen? Plasma?
No. What? It's a CRT. I only paid $800 for it. I mean, $800 is a lot of money, but it's a lot cheaper than some of the other TVs that are growing around these days. It's a CRT, but it looks very nice. The only little issue that I had was connecting through the HDMI cable, which is the highest quality. The HDMI is like the high definition digital version of coaxial. It's like, you know, very high quality, plus the audio goes through there. After like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, it like stopped working. So there was a fix. Like, you go into like the service menu and you change a bunch of the hexadecimal values. And after I applied that, it works fine now. Everything, life is good. Plus, I tweaked some of the settings. I went through, like, the AVS forums. Hey, are you guys familiar with the AVS forums? It's a great website, man, AVS forums. And you can go there. People talk about, you know, like, home electronics, some computer stuff. There's actually a Linux thread in there. And it's pretty good. But they had the fix in there, so... I applied the fix. I also tweaked out the settings, you know, the contrast and the brightness. And it looks real nice, man. Saturday night, I went to see if Saturday Night Live was actually still on the air, and it is. And I can report that it still sucks ass. The picture looked great, but the show sucked.
Cool.
Yeah.
Still, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really sucks. It's a bad show. They really need to kill that show and be done with it for once and for all. But,
nothing
it looks fantastic.
Like Star Trek, man.
No, of course not. I was watching Heroes on Monday Night, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
It looked fantastic. And it was a great episode, too, by the way.
I haven't even watched that episode, so don't spoil it for me.
It's really good.
I did have to. I snagged it through BitTorrent today because I just remembered this morning.
Yeah, I got my standard definition DVD player hooked up. It's a progressive scan, so it looks pretty good. It upscales pretty decently. I was watching Venture Brothers, of course. And speaking of Venture Brothers, they got renewed for a third season.
That's awesome. I love
more good stuff from the Venture Brothers team. That's a great show. You guys got me into that show.
Go Team Venture.
Yeah.
Never
Gargantuan
seen.
One. Well, you guys have to come over here, man. We'll do the show from here, and maybe we can indoctrinate you into Venture Brothers. We can watch an episode before the show starts. They're quick; they're like 20 minutes long.
Long commute for you, Dan, huh?
To watch it at Pat's place on that screen TV. I'd do that just to come see his man cave, just to plant myself in his man cave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I picked up an AV rack from Walmart for like $65 bucks.
Did you put that in your man cave, huh? How does that fit in there?
It fits pretty good, man.
Do you have problems getting the stuff through the door? Do you have a door on your man cave?
Of course.
So it's actually an enclosed room, then. That's nice.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Looks real nice, man. I just got to get some decorations down here. Pick up a couple of area rugs. You know, some decorations for, like, the walls and stuff. Got the bookcases all in, and the books are all packed up. It was actually good that these guys, you know, that I moved all my stuff from downstairs. Like, I had a whole ton of stuff that I wanted to get rid of. I gave Link a VB book that I had, and he's enjoying that right now.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're learning VB. What version? Is it 6 or .NET?
It's 6.
Not a clue.
It's good you're branching out. So when do we expect to see Bash Potter written in VB?
I'd probably be a while.
Because then we can run it in mono. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
VB Potter. V Potter. V Bash Potter. No, VB Potter. Yeah, VB Potter. I like that better. Not VD Potter. VB Potter. Link puts out a what is the extension for? You could get a .exe, an executable from Bash, from Visual Basic, can't you?
Beat the hell out of me.
It's like a 2K script that requires the .NET runtime environment. So you got to download that so you can run that little script in Visual Basic. And it crashes your system, and it's done. Every time you run it, you need to reboot. You have new podcasts. Please reboot.
You know, I find that easy to believe. That's the thing.
Now, when it downloads the podcast, are you going to put DRM on it automatically?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely, man.
That's impressive. Good luck with that VB script.
VB script. It's a virus waiting to be written.
So are you going to be converting everything you wrote in PHP over to VB and ASP?
Sure.
And you're going to run it on an IIS server, I take it. Sometimes you can go, you could get Apache installed with like ASP and front page extensions. It's not that difficult. And then you don't have to worry about compatibility issues with everything else, because the rest of the world runs Windows products, Microsoft products. And if you're not, all you're doing is infringing on Microsoft's intellectual property, so you might as well be running it anyhow.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got to go out and pay for Vista is what you got to do.
Yes. Well, you know, speaking of that, the big...
You might lose your left testicle in the process, but hey, that's the price you got to pay.
Price for innovation. Well, speaking of that, I guess big news came out with Dell's little idea. What was that called? Dell's... Somebody fill it in.
They had a website where you can go in and make
Idea Storm,
suggestions,
wasn't it?
Of what you want. Yeah, something like that. And it's basically like a dig ripoff. People go and vote on it. And two of the biggest ones were like Linux related. One was having pre-installed Linux systems from Dell, and the other one was including OpenOffice by default. I mean, they include every other crap piece of software on Dell machines. So it's not that much asking for like, you know, a decent Office suite, you know?
Yeah. You know what?
Well, apparently it is, because, you know, they took all these suggestions and then they're not going to do anything with them, you know?
Yeah, so basically it's just talk at this point, so par for the course.
Yeah, I find it interesting that they've gone from the nobody wants Linux to, well, everybody wants their different distribution, so because everybody wants a different distribution, we're not going to install any distribution.
That's right. We can't support it.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, yeah, and I think that's the biggest cop-out excuse in the world. It's like, well, a lot of people requested Ubuntu. A lot of people requested Red Hat. A lot of people requested Novell. A lot of people requested X, Y, and Z. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, fine. Red Hat, definitely. Novell, if you want to. Ubuntu would be a great idea. I know it's the new kid on the block. Novell's SUSE, sorry. And Ubuntu would be a great idea. But you know what? Screw them. I got System 76 I can order from.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what's stupid about the whole thing, though? They're talking about making sure that they're, you know, if they do something with it at all, what they're going to do is they're going to make sure that their systems are certified for, like, whatever, pick one, you know, Novell or Red Hat or something like that. So it'd be a SUSE certified system, but what does that really mean? What it means is any freaking Linux will run on it. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yeah. Unless,
like, why don't they just say that it'll work with Linux, you know, instead of certifying it to run with one particular distro? And I know that's what they're worried about. They don't want to piss somebody off by only certifying it for SUSE or only certifying it with Red Hat. Well, why don't you just say it's Linux certified? I mean, if Linux runs on it, Linux runs on it. Right?
It depends, though. If the hardware requires binary blobs, you know, binary driver blobs, and they you know, have... make them downloadable off of Dell's site, but they only provide an RPM package, you know, then you
right,
got the
but,
whole thing with...
Why can't they
Debian?
Make sure that it doesn't require the binary drivers? You know what I mean? Like, I've been running Linux for a long time, and I can't tell you the last time I've had to have a binary... I mean, other than NVIDIA, right? The last time I've had to have some special Linux binary driver that not every distribution had, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you do now on your laptop, but, yeah, but there's got to be a way to get around that. You know what I'm saying? Because I've run a lot of different systems, and I, like I said, I haven't had to use any weird proprietary, you know, Linux driver ever other than NVIDIA, really.
Well, you know, they complain about that whole support issue, and I don't know if you guys have ever had experience with Dell support, but where I used to work, we had a lot of Dell products, and I will give credit where credit's due. The support that we called, which I guess was closer to the small business education support, was pretty good. But the first thing that they always had you do was put in the Dell diagnostic disk and run that. And that, you know, we go through and test the hardware. And if everything came out of the hardware okay, it was pretty much, well, it's probably a software problem. We can't really help you with that. You know what I mean? So at that point... Yeah. You know,
but they were pretty helpless, is what you're saying.
Well, most of the time it was like a hardware issue, and they would come out and replace the motherboard or whatever needed replacing. But when it came down to a software issue, like the one time we had an issue, it took like 3 months to solve this problem because it was like this really weird, sporadic blue screen of death that kept going on, the IRQ not less than or equal to issue, and it all came down to was on the switches, the spanning tree port fast was turned on when it had to be turned on in the past, but now it had to be turned off with this new network card. But it was odd because it was only like on half the switches that we had to go through and do this, so it wasn't consistent. It was just, anyway, long story short, I mean, they did work with us for a while trying to get this fixed, and largely because my boss said, hey, if we can't get this problem resolved, we're sending all this stuff back, and you can eat the cost. But, you know, long story short, they really can't do much to help you with a lot of the, you know, Microsoft issues or other software support. They say you're going to have to contact Microsoft or Novell or the company that whose product you're having the issue with. You know, I don't usually expect to get much from support, particularly their home support, which I hear more often than not, this resolution is generally, you know, if it doesn't fix itself with a reboot, then restore your, you know, run the system restore disk. And, I mean, you think about it, if you're shipping these damn machines out with restore disks and you test them on, you know, Linux runs on these systems when you run the restore disk, it's just like the same thing with Windows.
Well, in all honesty, Dell do sell servers with Linux on them. Give them that much credit.
Right, and I think there's some products out there, some business line products that they do sell with Red Hat pre-installed, or they used to. I don't know if what's the word on that? Are they or are they not selling those? I know there's the N-Series with FreeDOS.
The FreeDOS machines is what they're selling.
But I know at one time they offered pre-installed Red Hat machines.
For a while they did, yeah, but I don't think they're doing it anymore.
But I thought I heard that they still have some of them out there, yeah. It's neat because if you actually run their server preparation utility, it runs Linux. So you run the server prep utility, which boots into a live version of Linux to prep your server for whatever operating system you want to install, be it Linux, Red Hat Linux, I think Novell, SUSE Linux, Novell, standard operating system, or even Windows. It prepares it using, a live Linux CD.
Well, I don't think Dell's on the top of my list of machines to purchase. Just a smack.
But there is kind of, you know, an interesting thing, some thoughts that were brought up in reading comments and everything that, you know, there's been looking at the trail here. You say, okay, Novell went and made this deal with Microsoft, and now Dell is thinking about, you know, the whole idea storm and thinking about the possibility of pre-installed Linux and certifying, you know, one of the versions would be Novell, SUSE Linux. So would they still receive flack from Microsoft for installing Novell, SUSE Linux when Microsoft is like, if you're going to use Linux, use SUSE, Novell, SUSE Linux. So... I don't know. Where's it all going to go? Microsoft Linux one day.
Yeah. Did you read some article that was on the internet? Some guy on, I don't know if it was on, was it E-Week or It's one of these technology websites. Some guy was like, Microsoft should go buy Linux. They'll help improve it and standardize it.
Yeah, I read
that. I'm like, what the F, man? What the hell? Does this guy have a clue?
That was a couple.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Did you see that?
Hold on. Let me see if I can bring it up.
Yep.
Oh. It was pretty silly, man. It was kind of laughable, actually. I don't know if the guy was being serious or not, but I think he was.
Let me see if I could bring it up. It was like two days ago.
Yeah, it was a couple days ago.
Why Microsoft should acquire Linux by Gundeep Ora. Let me see if I could post a link to that. Author Gundeep Ora. It's off of LX, or you can find it on there. It's on the cooltechzone.com. Why can't... I like that, because cooltechzone.com, you go all the way down to the bottom. Click here to get the latest prices on Linux distributions. I wonder what the latest prices are on Linux distributions. How much am I going to pay for Ubuntu? Because I want to know. Or Fedora Core 5.
Isn't 7 coming out soon?
Are they on 6 already?
Yeah, they're on 6. 7's coming out in a couple months.
Oh, they're saying Novell SUSE. Well, the article's by Gundeep Ora, H-O-R-A, on cooltechzone.com. You can find the link on LXer from February 26, 2007. And basically the general gist of what Gundeep says is, hey, you know, you got Microsoft out there trying to sabotage Linux and the open software movement and doing other things and always fighting against it. And why fight against something that could, you know, be a potential benefit to your company? It would, you know, bring stability, improvements. You could benefit from open source and free software and Linux. Therefore, why doesn't Microsoft just acquire it and thus provide the free software and open source software with more legitimacy and less of a, you know, roadblock for Microsoft? Because they say Microsoft could then embrace and utilize and help propel Linux and open source and free software into more of the mainstream and provide a corporate backing. And a lot of the comments I read from the LX on the LXer site was like, yeah, the only thing Microsoft does is embrace and extend and not, if they can't take over and drive it into the ground, they will just let it die a slow death. So I would never expect Microsoft to embrace Linux and try and push it forward as a viable product. Those were the gist of the comments that I read.
And the internets are down.
Who's down?
People complain about the stream.
But I got nothing going on other than the show.
The stream is having problems, is it?
Yeah, people in the RC complain.
Which stream?
BinRev.
Oh. Trouble in paradise.
But anyhow, let's continue.
Well, according to all my things, hold on. Look at that. Apparently, the streaming server went down.
There you go. That might be the problem.
Oh,
then.
Boy.
Dan
broke the internet.
Yep. The internets are down.
Wonder why that happened.
As happens occasionally, time to time, on shows that you actually do live, we are experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh. But you know what? We're not having a problem between us.
Right.
So we'll keep recording.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Bang it out. And I'm, for those of you who are not listening because the stream is down, I'm actually doing some quick updates and changes to the TLLTS website.
Oh.
Because the Dan man bitched about it last time.
All right.
Well, I think the Dan's complaint was that we still had the link for the Ohio Linux Fest. It could be like, you know, your neighbor that has the Christmas lights up all year.
Yeah.
Soon it'll be Christmas again, so you might as well just leave them up.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to get off my butt and do is I got to post the results from the survey, which I realize I've been really lax in doing that. So how about that whole deal with Microsoft and getting sued by Alcatel? For the $1.5 billion over...
That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, patent violations for the MP3 format.
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yeah. Like to see that, huh?
What goes around comes around, that's all I have to say.
That's some funny crap. And, you know, right at the same time that they were bitching about, you know, Linux having some kind of a frickin' a code violation on Microsoft and... A day later, here we come with Lucent suing them for $1.5 billion. Billion with a B.
$1 billion.
B, like as in busted. That kind of B. And the killer part is like that's only one of like six upcoming lawsuits or something like that, so.
Well, in all honesty, if you have money, people will sue you. Regardless of what you do.
Yeah, but it couldn't come to a more deserving party, I think.
Well, the big winner in all this, hopefully, is Yog Vorbis format. Hopefully opens up a lot of eyes to companies looking for a free codec that's a better quality than MP3.
Yep, no lie. I hope that, my sincere hope is that happens, you know?
Yeah, well, I hope even better comes out of that is another hard look at the software patent system here. And because I know that apparently free software movement, the legal branch of the free software movement is kind of, you know, throwing some support behind Microsoft in hopes that that they can get some of this. I think one of the things they came out saying is making it so that if you are in patent violation in one country, doesn't necessarily mean you can sue for that same patent violation in another if those kind of same patent ideas don't apply.
Mm.
Which almost like flies in the face of the other half of what Microsoft is trying to do, like what you said with Linux. So they kind of like want it both ways, you know? I don't know which way do they want it? Do they want it that they could do, you know, they could sue wherever they want because of, you know, potential IP or patent infringement? Or do they want it that they can't be sued like that? Or do they want it that they can't be sued, but they can sue whoever they want?
They want it whatever way is more advantageous to them at the time.
Right, but in the long term, if they got something like that looked at really hard and it did start to unravel the whole intellectual property and patent issues surrounding the software industry, that's not going to bolster a lot of their stance on, or particularly Ballmer's stance on how Linux is infringing.
Yeah, well, you got to look at who we're talking about, too, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, then there's always the people who sit around and speculate that how, you know, does Ballmer really epitomize the general direction of Microsoft? Is he the head there, or is he, you know, a rogue body part flapping in the wind?
I get the impression that, you know, he's obviously Bill Gates's boy, and he is the top dog there, and what he says goes. But I also do get the impression that there are other departments within Microsoft where there are people that are looking to extend it and embrace different technologies, including open source software. But at the end of the day, you know, you got Monkey Boy jumping around on stage like a raving madman.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
What we need to have is like at the, you know, and you saw Pirates of Silicon Valley, right?
Yes.
At the end where Steve Jobs was sitting there on stage and they had Gates at the, on the big screen behind him. And they were like, hey, we're partners again, buddy. And then what you have is an even a bigger screen behind them, and it's Linus Torvald saying, hey, what's up, guys? Just all the way down.
Partners.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Glad we could all be interoperable. There we go. That's some big stuff.
Yeah, buddy.
Some interesting stuff this week. Which, of course, I paid attention to none of it because I was stuck in the world of WoW.
You were stuck in a Wanahama?
I was stuck in World of Warcraft this past week.
Oh, yeah.
Kudos to Crossover. It runs great under Crossover. I hear it even runs pretty darn good well under Wine, Captain Obvious, or Devin, who does lager with us. And that's another reason for the delay in lager. It's all Warcraft's fault, because it is crack. But he said he was running it in Wine and wasn't having any problems with it in Wine, except for when he tried to change his screen resolution. Little bugs, a little crack, glitchy there, but... Gotta say, it was no pain install and no pain setting it up and running and no pain. Well, you know what? I'm really interested to know, though, is how it actually works under Windows, because when I got it installed, after the install went through, Crossover said it had to.
Way choppy, Dan.
Well, choppy for who?
All of us. For me hearing you.
Okay, it's
how
weird.
How are you doing over there, Pat?
Do you want me to pause and kick the asterisk machine?
Give it a good swift kick?
Well, I don't know. I think it's your bandwidth because they're still complaining on the IRC that you're dropping out.
Well, it might be a good time to play the interview that we have.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
We'll go take a break and come back, and you can enjoy the interview.
No, wait, hold on.
I'm
going
to humble
it. It looks like the, Let me see what's going on here.
That's all that World of Warcraft that you're playing, Dan. And your wife and your kids and everybody else in your apartment complex.
Man, it's weird. I mean, I don't see what's causing a problem. Everything
just
looks
blame
okay.
It on Alan. It's all Alan's fault.
Oh, obviously.
He's not here. It's his fault.
Obviously, it's his fault.
Wonder what's sucking up all the... It's probably all these damn people on the IRC. How many people do we have on the IRC?
A few.
Let me breeze by here again. See what's. Well, the stream's still up. Stream.tlts.org.
I think we just got a lot of people listening live. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, but they don't hit us. They hit stream.tll. We got 20 listeners on stream.tlls.org, so they hit the mirrors. They don't hit me directly. And I'm not having a problem browsing anywhere. Unless somebody's... Hey, woman. Honey, are you downloading anything? Do you have a torrent going? Yeah, nothing going on over there.
A torrent going.
Nothing going on there.
Attention, RIAA. Please listen to this show. Yeah. How many torrents do we have going right now?
No. We don't want people pirating software and media. Go out there and legally.
No. These are only legal torrents. She's downloading Linux distributions.
Elephant Stream. Elephant Stream, people. Elephant Stream.
Elephant Stream, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, can you hear me okay now?
You sound a little better.
Okay. As I was saying, after the install process completed, it said it needed to simulate a reboot. So, of course, I don't need to reboot my system. It's just that Crossover had to simulate a Windows reboot. Well, after it did that, it had to download a patch. So it downloads a patch. After the patch is downloaded, it had to simulate another reboot. Kept having to do that. I was wondering if every time a patch comes out for World of Warcraft, Windows users have to reboot their machine. I'm just curious. Me? Not at all. Because I run
Linux.
GNU Linux.
Right.
As everybody knows, it's called.
We don't pirate software.
No.
There are no wares in Linux.
But pretty soon they'll be trying to sell you wares. We got the latest Linux wares at the rock bottom prices.
You get those spam emails. Yes, you can get Vista for $40.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't
want it. And there we go.
What?
The site is now updated, even.
What site is
with
that?
With custom graphics, even. Little gimpin'.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Ohio Little Linux purdy. Fest 2007.
Isn't that pretty, huh?
Yeah.
That is pretty. Registration is open, people.
I guess, do we have to register?
Yes, we do.
We probably do, but we still need to get a hold of Greg and find out what he wants us to do there. So
he doesn't want us to do anything. He's like, forget it. Wait, did you use your same username and password as last year to register?
I didn't register yet.
I haven't registered yet either.
Let me see if I can still use my same name. No, I gotta.
Call for speakers. Should we submit Alan for that?
Oh, yeah. No, that would be...
He'll get an email from Greg. Alan, we got your email. Yeah, your talk sounds great.
We'll submit Alan for Japanese anime porn or something, you know.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
It's good fun, man. Good fun. Highly recommend everybody to go to the Ohio Linux Fest.
Well, definitely. It's the best. It is a great thing. Dave Yates is going to be there. What more do you need?
Yeah, Chess is coming too, I think.
As long as Dave Yates is going to be staying in the... what's that? Whose UPS is going?
It's mine. It'll shut up.
As long as Dave Yates is in a hotel on the other side of town from us.
Oh, no, he's gonna stay right next to us. We have plans.
That's good. No, actually...
We have one show up on him. We got to initiate him, you know?
Chess 2. We're going to have a double initiation.
That's right. You might as well get it all taken care of all in one time.
You know who we haven't talked to in a long time?
Oh.
Who's Ted that? Hager. Hager! Hager.
He's a busy guy, man. He's in charge of, I think, doing the brain share.
The
which is a big novella event.
He's in charge of
in
patent litigation.
No. He's in charge
IP
of, I think, of like doing like the presentations and organizing that whole brain share thing.
It was about time you turned that off.
Yeah, it's a big job, you know. Plus, he also goes around to a lot of conferences. He was at Scale.
Uh huh.
And then he was also at another one too, I think.
Well, he goes around a lot of places, and it would be really great if Jeremy Garcia is going to be there.
He's another guy that goes around to a lot of these conferences.
Right. Well, he's all about Linux Consultant now, so.
Scale sounds like a great festival. I'd like to go to that sometime.
Yeah, it's a little far away, though.
Yeah, it's way far away.
See, I don't know. I don't know what I'd like to go to, though. If I had the money to go to Scale, I'd probably have enough money to go to, you know, then go to Lug Radio Live.
I'm sure that's a fun show, too.
You know, this would be really tough. Which one would I want to go to? It's probably the same distance, almost.
Yeah, for us, yeah.
Maybe a little further to go to England. I don't know.
Slightly.
The United Kingdom.
Not really. It's probably the same.
I wonder how much the cost would be.
I haven't looked at airfares going to the UK in a while.
Yeah. So how are they saying the stream sounding now?
Sounds like people having problems getting on.
It's cutting out again. It's real bad chatter over here, too. So I don't know if you want to cut in and start playing the Ari interview.
So nobody can hear it, huh?
Hey, it's like 50 minutes anyway, right? So
yeah, 50 minutes.
Anyway. Let me think here. I'm trying to see, think of what else I could possibly do to try and fix it. Maybe they're having, like, network issues again. And no, nobody's playing WoW because the machine that runs WoW is sitting right next to me, and it's going to play the Ari video audio.
It's playing WoW in the background. Dan just doesn't know.
Yeah, we got a good interview with Yari Oxy, who's the big cheese over at Nokia for the development of the Nokia N800 and 770. Me and Link talked to him a while back, so it's a good interview. I'm sure everybody will enjoy it.
What'd you guys register for? Yeah, what'd you register for? A free conference pass, huh?
Yes.
I'm going to register for the free conference pass, too. I guess I better play this interview.
Why not?
And
Hopefully he gets a little better.
I hope so, too.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
Talk to you in a bit.
All right, here we go.
Hi, this is Pat DeVilla from the Linux Link Tech Show, and here with Link Fezzedin, and we're talking to Dr. Ari Oxy from Nokia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Ari, what exactly is your role at Nokia?
I'm running the Nokia's Linux tablet software platform development, so I'm responsible for the whole software that runs inside of 770 and N800 internet tablets. And then also the MIMO developer site and the developer tools.
Now, when you guys started development of the 770, what exactly was your target audience? Who are you looking to sell this to primarily?
Yeah, so we saw that there's a group of technology enthusiastic people who want to maybe develop applications of their own and want to try out different things. So that was one of the target groups. And then we saw that people who have interest in getting online and do things on the internet while on the move, like not in a fixed location. We saw that as the primary target, and we still do also with N800 now expanding more to casual uses. But originally with 770, it was really hackers, it was developers, and people who want to be online while on the move.
Now, you talk about the 770 transition to the 800. I guess the 770 was more of a rough prototype and developer platform, whereas now you're targeting more of a mass market audience?
Yeah, I don't know if that was a prototype. I'm not sure if that's the right way to say it. It was the first of a kind. It was the first product. So now we got a better product, and we improved a lot of aspects. But we learned through 770. It was a product in a sense, like a full product in the sense that it went through all the characteristics and all the development phases of any other product. So I wouldn't call that really a prototype, but it was a first of a kind.
Now, I remember the very first time I heard about the 770, and it seems a lot of the reviewers were kind of confused exactly what you guys were trying to do. It wasn't a phone, it wasn't, a laptop, and it took a little while for the general, I guess the general audience to figure out what you guys are doing. You know, us Linux packers, we got it right away. We knew immediately what you guys were trying to do. Was there a little bit of communication maybe in the beginning that you guys needed to do to explain what exactly you were trying to do?
You're so right about this. So now it's so different than it was in the beginning of 770. So we seem to have much easier time to explain the rationale behind the product and the product line today. Yeah, I think, I don't think if you could have done that differently. So you need to get the product out. You need to let people play with that. You need to demonstrate that your vision works. So I guess that's what we accomplished with 770. So now much more people know and understand what we are after. But, of course, because it says Nokia at the face, kind of in the face of it, it's always people think about, is that a phone that, and that caused us some explanation. And also this open source approach that was pretty radical to the company, to Nokia and in the industry as a whole. So, but now We don't need to explain those things again. As you said, some people got it from the outset, and now more and more people understand.
What was some of the feedback that you got over the 770 that you put back into the design of the 800?
Overall, the performance was something that when we started to sell the 770 in late 2005, we realized and we got a lot of feedback about the bad performance, like memory consumption, speed, and those kind of things. So that is something that we really then needed to address. We did some of the work already during the summer of 2005 and got a much improved software edition out, but that's something that we needed to improve. And then, of course, this what we call internet interoperability, that the site and the service where you go, it just simply works. That is something that we needed to improve. So one example is better flash support and so forth. So those kind of things we have improved. Also more storage space from a hardware point of view, like using SD cards. I mean, I could go on and on. There are so many of those things that we wanted to fix, and some of those we managed to fix.
Ari, what kind of a response did you get from the community with the 770 and now with the N800? And is this, do you anticipate this product line being something that's going to continue on evolving and getting better and being available in the future?
Definitely. The feedback has been tremendous, so I think that there is no open source developer who wouldn't know about our platform and know about it all, and many have developed applications and whatnot on top of that. So that is clearly something that we have got so good response, even to the extent that now introducing N800, some people felt that, you know, they just bought 770 and wish they have waited for a couple of more weeks and so forth. But it just shows that people love these products and developers like these products. And I believe that we are really in this in the long run. So everything looks really, I mean, for example, the community support has really caught us by surprise, and we are very happy with the support and we got from different communities and how these communities help us to create these products. So, you know, I think we're just going to strengthen and deepen this community collaboration in the future.
Now, the 770 and the 800 are based primarily using open source software. What are some of the other areas that Nokia is using open source software?
You are right that the most of the software running on an 800, the big majority is open source based. And the basic design philosophy there is that it's open source unless there's a good reason for that to be not open source. For example, some commercial components. On our different platforms, for example, Series 60 side, the approach is different, that we are constantly looking into various open source components that we could add on top of the Series 60 platform. One of the examples is the open source browser that we are using there. So in both platforms, we are looking into using open source more and more, and we believe that it's really adds value to our end users. But the basic approach is slightly different.
So what drove you to Linux as a whole, as opposed to, you know, using maybe a BSD variant or even Microsoft? Was it just a licensing kind of concern, or were you really interested in pursuing a relationship with the open source community?
We really wanted to start to participate in open source community development. That was the main driver, and we understood from the very beginning that now we are creating devices for the internet and for the kind of internet and mind, and internet is constantly changing. New formats are coming up, new services. So you want to have a platform that is as flexible as possible and where you can meet the demands of this ever-changing world. And we believe that Linux and open source in general, not only Linux, but GNOME and GTK and all that on top of Linux, is an ultimate solution for this kind of an ever-changing business model where you need to be agile and you need to change your plans constantly and be fast. Also, open source gives you the possibility to collaborate with others on an open basis. So there's no one company dominance anywhere. And also it gives you the possibility, if nobody helps you, you still got this possibility that you can do it on your own. So it gives you a tremendous freedom at the R&D side to do the things that you need to do.
Now that the 800 is out, how long will the 770 be supported for?
It will be, it's supported as long as the warranty lasts for the individual who bought it. And we just launched a new software update for the 770, was it 2 weeks ago, or when was that? So we are planning to support it and keep on selling that as long as there is demand. Of course, we are now monitoring that, what is the demand going to be like, because, of course, the new N800 is only slightly more expensive. So we expect that the most of the customers will choose N800 when they compare these two products. But let's wait and see how that goes.
What are some of the killer features in the 800 that the 770 doesn't have?
So from the software point of view, of course, updated internet interoperability like Flash Player, more improved video performance and video compatibility. We got we get video calls, a lot of components and applications are updated. From the hardware point of view, there's, of course, this video camera, there's stereo speakers, so that gives you really nice output in the navigational situation, or even as an internet radio without any extra speakers. This kickstand behind the device gives you a possibility to keep it on the table, and kitchen table and leave it there and everybody can view it. So it's not only handheld device, but it can actually stand up proudly. We got more memory space there because there are two SD card slots, so you can add more memory there and you have this hot swap and then this permanent memory slot there. Those come to my mind immediately when I go through the couple of new things on the 800.
As far as codec support, are you guys planning to support X264 at any point in the future?
I don't actually know about the time frame for that, but generally speaking, for all kind of formats that we are thinking about now here is that I think that the benchmark is pretty much what you would have on your PC. So, the timing, some formats might take a little bit longer, but eventually we need to get all the formats that you would get on your PC. So that's the ultimate design goal and the benchmark for us. But I from the top of my head now, I don't actually remember what's the plan for that. Sorry.
Could you tell us a little bit about MIMO.org, what exactly it is and how people can use it?
Okay, MIMO.org is a developer website for internet tablets. It's basically a collection of all kind of tools, developer tools, documentation, examples, how-to-dos, mailing lists, wiki pages, you name it, for developers who want to develop or port their applications on these internet tablets. In addition, it gives you MIMO Garage that allows you to host your own development projects there. And it gives you a place to publish your applications. So the primary target for MIMO is application developers who want to develop applications on top of N800 or 770. Well, in addition to that, there are also other targets. One is that it's for those who want to develop or hack the kernel or the inside software, the firmware. That's also possible, so there are tools for you to flash your own kernel and work on that level. And then also, last but not least, there are means to participate the Nokia Internet Tablet development. There is an unstable release called MIMO Sardine, that's a fish. There is unstable version of our future software. So everybody can now join us to develop the software for some of our future products and future software releases, or actually can monitor development to make sure that the application will run smoothly on our future devices. And then it has a Paxilla, so do find in box for our, you know, against our software. So if you find a box that you can let us know and we can try to fix it. But primarily, it's for application development.
I went and installed a development kit on my laptop here, and it looks very interesting. What are some of the core skill sets someone needs to be able to develop for the Nokia N800?
So it would basically, of course, you need to know your compilers and linkers and whatnot, but there are a couple of things that you need to know. There's a tool called Scratchbox, which is an open source tool that you need to get installed. It gives you basically the sandbox that emulates N800 and 770. So that's something that you need to get done. And that shouldn't be extremely complicated. Then at the user interface level, the more you are familiar with GNOME and CTK, that would help you, because basically what we are running here is a GNOME device. So the more you know about that stuff, that makes your life easier. Then it's an X window-based device. So if you know how to build X applications, that will help you. But basically you shouldn't need any extra weird skills. If you have done application or software development on any Linux distro, you should find your way around with the tools. It shouldn't be overly complicated.
Looking over at the library of some of the third-party applications, the catalog is fairly extensive. It seems quite a few people have gotten in there and ported over a very large array of applications from the Linux platform. Are there any particular areas where you think more development needs to be done or some more applications be imported specifically?
I haven't thought about that really. Of course, I have some preferences like everybody would do from the personal point of view. What I would like to challenge people and what I would like to see is more applications, either ported or developed from scratch, really take benefit from the mobility aspect. So although it's cool to port your spreadsheet application or your word processor or even your game on this device, I'm not sure if, you know, how interesting is that. It may be, but, you know, I would personally like to see more mobility, more that kind of stuff. You know, an example that comes to my mind that I haven't seen really anybody trying to solve is, say, a sniffer that would go to a certain web page or a set of web pages and monitor if something has changed and show me a indication on 800 that, hey, now your eBay auction is approved, or you got a new email, or somebody commented your blog. It's more like this kind of an internet applications that would help me to stay kind of updated about the changes all over the place. Kind of extended RSS feed reader, if you will. Those type of applications, maybe I would like to see more.
I guess some of the applications that I could see people jumping on, you know, for the hardcore Linux people, a lot of remote administration type apps. But I could definitely see some possibilities in education, possibly in the healthcare field. Also, maybe in some point of sale type applications. I mean, I guess the possibilities are pretty, you know, unlimited what you can do with it.
Yeah, I agree. With those kind of examples you mentioned, maybe the challenge is that to get your applications or service really to the end users, you need more than an application. In say Salesforce automation, you need some back-end support, and you need, like, the entire end-to-end infrastructure. To get to the hospital, you need to have, I guess, a lot of, you need to find a channel to get your applications to that environment. And maybe that's slightly more complex for an open-source community to get that done. So you need to find a company or business to pick those kind of things up. But we certainly see a lot of interest and a lot of different parties, open source communities and corporations are asking us that, you know, what if we would do this and that? Could Nokia help us enter into this and that market? Yeah, it's an open device, so there's a limitless number of options you could do with this device.
Ari, what about, do you have any sort of speculation as to what kinds of things we can expect to see coming in the future as far as, you know, both the software and operating system and also possibly future, you know, hardware improvements that we might see coming down the line? Maybe even hardware products. I know that you guys are just coming out with GPS software and stuff like that for it. That uses little Bluetooth GPS receivers and that sort of thing. What else can we expect to see coming that's coming this way?
From the hardware point of view, I really cannot tell you much. We just got this one out, and of course there's a lot of development happening inside of our lab. So one thing that we have announced is YMAX. So sooner or later, we're going to enable YMAX radio on these devices, and we are working with Sprint to get that done. So that's something that we are working on. From the software point of view, I believe that in a couple of weeks' time, we will have the next software update with improved performance. So it should improve your YouTube experience, your video performance, increase your battery lifetime. So that's kind of, you know, something that we, based on the feedback that we are getting, we want to fix as soon as possible. So expect to see that kind of a software upgrade for N800 in a few weeks' time. Then later this year, we are focusing on better web 2.0 support through our browser. We are planning to increase the number of different formats, video and audio formats to be supported.
Yeah, what's up? Hello? Link. Hello? You requested? All right.
For it, we're going to improve our package management on this device. You probably know already, you can install Debian packages and get apps working on an application level, but not really in the firmware. So you cannot, for example, change an inbuilt component to a newer version. But those are the things that we want to enable. And those are the things that we are working on right now, to name a few.
Back on the MAMO.org site, say I'm someone who wants to do some development. I go to the website, I download the development packages, I read over the documentation, I look over some of what the applications that have been ported, I look at possibly what people are working on. Is there anything formal that I have to go through to say to get my application that I'm coding approved to be part of the repository?
The MIMO.org website repository is totally open, and it's actually maintained not by Nokia but by the form unities. So you just get your passwords and whatnot there, right, and part, you become part of the form unity, and you can publish whatever your work you have there. So it's really an open community site, and that actually is good, and it's bad, because now we also cannot, as Nokia, we cannot guarantee the quality of all the application and work done on MIMO, because it's not in our control. As an example, there are some applications as of today that claim that they run on N800, and they really don't. And some of them, I just checked out yesterday, some of them got fixed on Monday, and now, because I, you know, flew here to the U.S. on Monday, so Monday morning they didn't work, but Tuesday the developers had fixed them. So that's kind of moving all the time. So you don't need to have any formal approval or anything like that for MIMO.org. But then we have another site, which is called tabletier.nokia.com, which is a Nokia-maintained site. And it is not so much for hackers and developers, it's more like a consumer side. And we pick and choose the most interesting applications from MIMO.org and publish them at this tabletier.nokia.com site. And to get your application there, the best way to do that is to send us an email either to the MIMED or the ORC maintainer or whatever, and suggest that, hey, how about my application? But before that, make sure that it's good, that it runs smoothly and there are no major bugs and so forth. So then we could consider to take that as a part of the Tuple tier offering. There is, as of today, there is no formal approval. It happens more like, okay, if we like it, we put it there.
Have there been any applications that were third-party, you know, community developed that made it into the standard application suite that comes with the Nokias?
Not so that the communities would have made them entirely, like to the end. So we have always helped and made the last part. But for example, the email application is a sulfide email, so that is something that the communities have made even before 770, and we just polished that. But as of today, the applications that run inside of our product, the final polishing has always been done by Nokia. That's why I would challenge developers, you know, don't drop your work when your work is in a beta level or 0.9 level. Try to make it to the end, polish it, finalize it, and then it's much easier to get it either to the Tuple-tier website or even to the inbox.
Now, you guys are usually primarily GTK, so C, programming with the C language. I see Python has been ported over. Is there any possibility of possibly, say, Java coming over as well?
With all those new things like Java 2, we are constantly monitoring the feedback, and let's see what happens with Java. In our current customer segment, Java does not seem to be extremely important. There are a certain group of people, especially business people, who seem to like it and would like to have it there. But so far, it has not been extremely high on our priority. But we are constantly listening. So I don't know about that yet.
Now, you guys are using Opera web browser. Was there any...
Yes.
What was the main reason for picking that browser as your default browser?
It was the best available browser at the time when we started, when we needed the browser for 770. The memory consumption was pretty optimal. We, Nokia has a long history with working with Opera, so we knew what we were going to get. So that was a good starting point. And we managed to get really good ingredients there, like the zooming and panning functionality. So kind of an obvious choice for us to work on.
What are some of the areas you guys think you might need some improvement in, application as well as hardware-wise?
That's a good question. Hardware, I feel N800 is pretty, I like it a lot from a hardware point of view. So I need to keep on using that a little bit longer to really know how I would like to improve that. From the software point of view, of course, there's a lot of things, there's a missing functionality that you would like to get. Most of all, it is this what I call internet interoperability. So you go to this website, you go to this service, and I hope that it would just work. Right now, there are too many things that won't work. Web 2.0 support, we need to get better on Ajax and Web 2.0 support on our browser. We need to get things like Skype and Yahoo's on board, and we are working with those guys to get their services enabled. So maybe it's more like not exactly a specific application, but getting these internet formats and services supported.
I guess just improving the user experience on the internet and using the internet?
Yes, exactly.
I have a question regarding hardware. You guys go with using ARM processors, correct?
Yeah.
What are some of the advantages of going with ARM processors?
What's the advantage of going with ARM? Is that your question?
Yeah, as opposed to some of the other mobile processors you could have used.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yes, we're using ARM, and we are using that in the context of OMAP. So we have the whole sort of hardware platform, OMAP 2420. It's a combination of good enough performance with a very good power management. I think that we could get a little bit better power management with some of the other platforms, and maybe a little bit better performance with some other platforms, but this combination of power management and battery lifetime with performance is optimal on this OMA platform using ARM. Because now we can use ARM for the generic purpose calculations, the generic purpose performance, and then with those places where we really want to have performance optimized, like video encoding and so forth, we can use the DSP on the TI Texas platform that gives you an optimal performance with very good power management. I think this is a really good combination of what we try to get.
So you get the best of both worlds. You get good power consumption, long battery life, and fairly powerful architecture.
Yeah, it's pretty optimal right now, and it's also reasonably priced because a lot of phones, cell phones, run the same hardware. So it's basically the same hardware we are using in our major part of our cell phones. So it is the price down because there are so many customers for the same hardware platform. So that helps us to keep the price where it is right now.
Do you guys see like a whole third-party industry of accessories similar to what the iPod has, such as cases and different devices to plug into?
Yeah, that would be nice. Let's see when that's going to happen. But yes, eventually, I think that when this device goes to different places, people will need protection like covers and whatnot. People may want a personalized device. So yes, that happened at the phone side, that happened at the iPod side. I expect that happen eventually on internet tablets too.
The GPS really looks like it could be something really useful. I know people go out and they buy GP units for their car, and they spend anywhere between $200 to $700-$800, depending on which model and make they get. If you guys had a low cost GPS unit, I know you guys have the GPS unit. I guess the point I'm making is if it's low cost enough that it's comparable to just going out and buying a GPS unit, it broadens the appeal more. Yeah, you get a GPS unit, but you also get, internet access. You also get these applications. You get the internet telephony, What's the rollout looking for the GPS unit? I know initially you guys were just supporting Europe. Is there any time frame as far when you're going to support other regions around the world?
We are actually it's an external company called Navigor that has a very nice application running on 770 and N800, and they have plans to enter to the U.S. too with the U.S. and North America support. To my understanding, during the first quarter, like in a matter of months or weeks now, for N800. So expect to see that on N800. I'm using it already in Europe, and it's really marvelous. You get really loud, direction orders from the stereo speakers. You get really nice big screen. And when you find a point of interest, you can click on that, get on the website, and check out that restaurant or whatever you are looking for. So that's really neat experience. And it's going to be available here too.
One really useful thing I'm looking for is maybe like a car kit so that you can mount the N800 in your car and use the GPS module, as well as maybe, the multimedia functions such as music playback or even video for your passengers.
Yeah, the kit that we have already available for 770 and that's going to be available for N800, that's part of that. So it allows you to attach the device nicely into your car and get the charger and everything ready for your car and so forth. What's a little bit more complicated then is this audio integration, for the reason that then you would need to integrate it with your car audio system, and there are so many different variations to do that at this point of time we have no solution for that. Like some of the cars would have an audio input, some of them would have a USB, some of them don't have anything, so you would need to rely on radio to use that kind of a little radio transmitter was illegal in Europe until the end of last year. So, I mean, there are regulatory things. But this kind of basic mounting kit for the car is going to be available.
To me, that would be a killer feature. And if it was price comparable to just a standalone GPS unit.
Yeah, I believe so too. And I use it every day, and it's really good. I wouldn't trade that into any of the other navigational kits that I've been using because it's so versatile.
Well, like you're a Nokia 800 owner. What are some of the things that really jump out at you as an improvement over the 770?
As an improvement, well, the big things are the stereo speakers, which sound really, really nice, by the way. I know I keep mentioning that, but they really do sound very, very nice. The other things that jump out at you is the increased storage capabilities with the two, you know, the two SD cards that you can have on there. That was a wonderful decision on your part to do that. And then, you know, the speed and the improvements that you've done to the operating system, it all really combines to make a really, really nice package. Not that I really have a soft spot in my heart for the 770, and I have one of those too, and that's really nice. And the thing that I like about that is, like, one of the things I like most about it is the hard case puts it on standby and nobody can finger it up or things like that. And the 770 works brilliantly to begin with, but the N800 is just that much better.
Yeah, I don't want to sound too like I'm a humble guy and so forth, but I think that we found the right things to improve. I feel pretty good about N800 and the improvement we made. And of course, you could, like, you know, wish for this and that, but all in all, I think that, you know, we made a couple of good decisions in the design and in the software improvements and so forth. So I agree with you. I feel pretty good about it. And then what comes to the look and feel of it, some people like it, some people like it less, but that's always happened. Most of the people do like it over 770, how it looks like and how it feels like. Some people worry about the durability of the screen and so forth. I don't know, of course, you can abuse the device, but I have found the N800 screen very durable, but you know, of course, having an extra cover would give you an extra state. But then I lose the cover all the time, so there's a problem with that too.
Another killer accessory that would be great, I think, would be maybe a Bluetooth clamshell keyboard that maybe can function as a carrying case as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, sometimes people want to, you know, type in something to say that they're in a meeting or something, and they want to take some notes, and you know, the tap pad or even, you know, just the hand recognition software might not be fast enough for them. I mean, I know there's a Bluetooth keyboard, correct?
Yes, it works with different Bluetooth keyboards, but it's an extra accessory to take with you. But some people like it, but having them somehow integrated, that's a cool idea, and you know, maybe that would be doable. On the other hand, I find myself using N800 more and more with my fingers only, and there comes this thumb keyboard. This big keyboard comes really handy. So I, you know, if I need to make some notes and if I have an idea and I need to write that down or update my blog or, you know, do email, I always use that thumb keyboard. And I really used to use that, and I find that extremely fast because it's combined with this predictive text. I'm also curious to listen and hear what people think about that, and do we really need to have a hardware keyboard, but that, you know, like a Bluetooth keyboard. But I guess it varies. It depends on how you want to use the device.
To be honest, Ari, one of the things that I find really refreshing is Nokia's attitude of embracing the Linux community and the open source community. You look at the recent announcement of, you know, Apple's iPhone. And one of the things that they pointed out was that there's going to be no third-party applications for it. You know, to me, that's not the correct way of going about it. You know, you want to be able to build and grow with the community, to have a community around the product. It makes your life easier. You know, it also gives options for people to try out other applications. It encourages development. It just seems that you guys have it right and Apple has it wrong. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't want to comment about if they are right or wrong, but we certainly think that we can do certain part of this world. So we can create a product and a platform and support some set of use cases and usage scenarios. But it's much more easier for us and everybody if we allow others to expand and develop the product further for their own usage or for their own customers' usage. So to keep that open, I think that benefits everybody. And it's very difficult for me to think that how would a closed platform be better and who would that serve better. I really don't understand that personally.
What are some of the advantages that you've seen from being an open platform?
So already now, for example, with the development of some of the commercial applications on the top of this one, like these Navicore applications, they did the most of the work on an open source based on the open APIs and open platform. So we didn't need to kind of help them and answer their question. The code is there. They can do the work of their own. There's a lot of interesting applications popping up and that I seem to use on a daily basis. A couple of my favorites are the Flickr application that goes to the Flickr website and Gaim Internet Messenger and those kind of things that wouldn't have happened without the help of the community. But by far, the biggest advantage here is that we could not have made this product without open source and community. The big majority of this code that is running on N800 is from open source communities, from kernel.org, from GTK project, from GStreamer, from those kind of places. And without those components available for us, we could not have made this product the way it is today. So it's not only how we have benefited from open source. This would not have happened without open source community. So it's simple as that.
Have you seen the development cycle sped up? Has the development cycle been sped up because you're using open source software, as opposed to some of your other products that might be closed?
Yes, it's faster. It's significantly cheaper compared to similar kind of efforts we've done with closed source. Yes, it is. But now one thing that is also a little bit, when you go to these comparisons, you always need to be careful because we haven't done exactly the same kind of device with any other ways of doing it. But you can clearly see, basically, just looking at the source code repository and looking at the number of files that we got for free, and we didn't need to do anything but just to compile them from ARM, that is staggering. So, I mean, just looking at the source code, and that becomes so clear to you that these guys have really benefited from open source.
One quick question I forgot to ask before was applications that are running on the 770, how difficult it is to move it over to the 800? Is it simple as just taking your source code and recompiling, or are there certain things that need to be changed moving over?
Some applications do not need anything, not even recompiling. It depends on what kind of applications you are talking of. So we got this little applet or widget that are on your desktop screen in an upper kind of a toolbar. Those need some changes in how they are launched. If you are using some of the networking capabilities or multimedia capabilities, some changes are needed to be made because we got a little bit different hardware behind those things. But all in all, we have pretty good documentation about how do you port your 770 application on 800 and how do you port a generic GNOME application on N800. I'd say that it's a matter of a couple of hours max to do that work. It shouldn't be very difficult. And as I said, some of the applications just work.
So the compatibility is pretty high between the two platforms.
Yeah, I wish we could have made it 100%, but as I said, 770 was the first product, and really wanted to change some of the things there, so we couldn't have 100% binary compatibility. Also, the hardware is now so significantly different that also, introduced some change. But it's not a big deal, I claim.
I guess going forward, where are there some of the areas where you guys want to go with this? Ultimately, is there a master plan where you want to go with this?
from the marketing point of view, or from the technology?
That's a very open-ended question, I know.
We want to go to places with this one. Seriously, from the kind of product point of view, we believe that there is a very interesting market opportunity kind of connected portable devices, where the internet, like your browsing, your voice calls, your messaging, your email, these internet services are the key design principles and primary use cases. And mobility kind of as an integral part of that. And some of the other devices that try to play in the same space are, say, your laptop, but it's not really portable, and it takes a long time to boot that up. Maybe your PDA, well, it's optimized for your personal information management, and it's not really, the Wi-Fi and connectivity is almost as an afterthought. Cell phone, in a certain, you know, way, tries to play in the same area, but it's really optimized for your phone call, and it's not really optimized for the internet. And at the same time, more and more people are now having Wi-Fi in their offices, at their home, and they want to be constantly online. So we believe that that's a very interesting space to be in, with a device that is originally designed for that particular use and for that particular kind of market segment. And I claim that we are almost like, there's a possibility that we're going to see the same kind of phenomenon when we saw with the cell phones in the early 90s, that suddenly, you know, people are first asking, like, hey, do I really need a cell phone? And then after a couple of years, everybody wants to have one. And it's not so much a question of does it replace my landline phone. It just gives you flexibility and freedom. So that's the same thing here, giving you the flexibility and freedom of internet wherever you are in a very neat package. You know, I think that's a long-term vision, and we already seen the first glimpses of that. So that's very compelling vision that we are after. And using open source in that context, helping us to go there, because we need other people to participate in this development with us. And this is a moving target, so we need the platform and software asset that can evolve with the internet and with the demands of our customers. And I believe that open source and Linux is an ultimate choice for these kind of devices. I think we got all the ingredients, and we got a very compelling vision.
It's fantastic. You guys have come out with a great product. And one thing that I just want to comment on your last few comments that you just made, it seems that a lot of the people in the market, especially with cell phones, it seems they want to dump all these features onto a phone. They want it to be an MP3 player. They want it to be a camera. They want text messaging. You know, personally, I like a phone that is just a good phone. It has good reception. The quality sounds good. It's durable. There should be other devices similar to what Nokia is doing with the 770 and 800, where you have all those other things on a separate platform. To me, that makes more sense. To me, that's more logical. It just seems that everybody else is just trying to stuff everything onto a phone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but let the consumer decide. So I kind of, you know, kind of personally agree with you, but then there are a lot of people who think that they want to have one device that does it all for them. And as a company, we, Nokia, we have those kind of devices too, and they are selling very well, like these N series phones or multimedia computers, as we call them. So that is actually part of this story right now as a company, as Nokia, is that we have different options for consumers, and let's see what they pick and choose. But I believe that there is certainly a market for this kind of a device that is optimized not for the phone call, And I share your opinion that it's at least a little bit challenging to try to combine these all into the same device. So, but you know, some people like it the other way around. So I don't know.
Ari, I think you guys have really, you know, done a fantastic job with this product. You know, as a developer and just a, you know, somebody who's into technology, I see what you guys are doing, and I'm totally excited by it. Please continue to do so. I really think you're doing fantastic work.
Hey, thanks.
Just keep it up. I really appreciate it. And also, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And I know you're a very busy person, and really appreciate you spending some time with us and answering some questions.
Absolutely.
Hey, thank you. It was my pleasure. Nice to hear from your comments and to hear from you. And it was really, I really thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners because it's also through the listeners and people like you that we get the feedback, and it's very important for us when we are developing these further. Yeah, I can guarantee that we keep on working on these devices, so we are not going to drop this now.
That's great. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's over.
How that happened?
Not over.
It jumped the gun. I didn't notice it was just going
to happen. You know where Dan's mind is, right? He's ready to leave already. Get the hell out of this show, I'll tell you.
He's pulling an Alan. Okay, it's time to call it off. Show's over.
Better get the hell out of here. Yeah, bye. Well, it seems our bandwidth problems have resolved themselves, huh?
Yeah, it was the network cable. It was either going bad or it's finally worn itself down and it's coming loose in the back, and that seems to be what's causing.
You need to recrimp the ends or something.
I might need to do that.
The old shitty crimped ends.
Yeah, I might.
Like the end of it, and make a circuit with, like, you know, your finger.
Yeah, that's it. Just some saliva. That's all. That's the way I do it. But it seems to be back up, and everybody seems to be happy now, I hope. Sorry about that. We got rid of the dead weight. We don't. All those people who have.
Well, Dan, do all your neighbors, like, use your connection for the internet? You got, like, a wide open connection?
Yeah, actually, I do have an open connection.
You got 802.11.
There you go.
I was just looking at that.
The rest of his neighbors just pegged the damn thing.
And if you count my Wii, I have three machines that would be connecting wirelessly, and there's eight connections going on right now. So I'm going to have to look into that. I may have to lock it down a little bit there. But normally it's not a problem.
It could be a problem.
And you don't have the excuse of the dog pissing on the cable modem.
No, no, now it's the cat. Or my wife peeing on the modem.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so.
So what did you think of the interview?
I would like to say it was really good. From what I heard, it was really good, but I was too busy trying to figure out. I listened to portions of it, but I was trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And no, the TLLTS stream is not on an open Wi-Fi network. It's a wireless network I have separate from, and that's the way it is.
It's a likely story.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe the stuff over wirelessly. It's all hardwired here.
It's a likely story.
Yeah. That's my connection is to my servers through a wireless connection, too.
Dan's gateway to his network is Windows. Is a machine running Windows 98.
Mm-hmm.
NT4. I moved up. I upgraded.
he does it. You know, you gotta watch.
Well, I figure since Link is now coding in Visual Basic,
damn dude, he's learning .NET.
I might as well start. You know, getting back into the swing of things. It pains me to use an operating system that infringes on another person's technology. So I want to make sure that I am indemnified and I am not at risk of infringing on other people's intellectual property. Therefore, I choose to run Windows.
Well, you can run Linux, but you gotta pay.
Yeah, but if Linux has to steal from Microsoft to be better, then I might as well go to where, you know, go get it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I want quality products. I'm going to run a quality operating system.
Hey, have you guys seen the advertisements on some of the TV shows lately? They have all these Vista, you know, commercials. I can't believe they came up with those 3D effects and special effects and everything. I am so impressed.
Well, again,
wonder where I've seen them before, huh?
You know what's interesting?
Somewhere.
I read an interview, and I think it was an interview with Bill Gates, who had said when they had mentioned that, you know, here you are coming to the table so late with all these 3D effects that Apple has had, and I think they even mentioned Linux has had for a while. And he says, yeah, but if you look back at where all these originated from, I think you'll see a different story. So he was implying that even though Apple and Linux came first to the market with the technology, Windows actually invented it or innovated it.
They
everybody else copied from them, and they took their time bringing their product to market. And the end result, of course, is the most stable, secure operating system to date. Windows Vista, ladies and gentlemen, it's worth $200. How much is the Enterprise Edition or the Ultimate Edition?
You mean $399, I think.
Ooh. You know what? You could just go buy a whole new computer for that cost.
Yep. And now, the sad part is that it already have the software on there, you know?
It's free, man. It comes free on a new system.
No,
seems like anymore, like the software comes, or the new system comes free with the Windows software.
That's exactly what it is. I think you've nailed it.
No, I do want to mention something serious here about the show. Last week we tried out the Gigavox Levelator, which they released for Linux. And after I used the Levelator and I looked at the WAV file, everything looked really cool. I listened to it and everything. I thought the audio last week was some of the best we've ever had. Everything seemed to be, you know, levelized really properly, and it did. I thought it did a wonderful job, and I heard from you guys, but I haven't heard from any of our listeners what they had thought of it. Nobody mentioned anything, no comments. We always get comments about crappy audio and inappropriate content, but never when it maybe sounds good.
Dan, welcome to the world of corporate IT, man. Nobody says thank you when things go right. It's only when there's problems they get on your ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know in the past that we have had a lot of people complain about inappropriate content and getting a little vulgar, which we've backed off a lot on that. But if you listen to this week's twit, I'm surprised that they didn't get a lot of comments on their site, because they ran off on tangents that we used to run off on with some of the blue humor there. And I'm just surprised that they haven't received a lot of flack for that, or if they haven't. But I didn't see anything on their comment section on their page. Neither of you know what I'm talking about, do you?
I stopped listening to Twit.
Oh.
Me too. I really don't get a lot of time to listen to anything, you know? I try and listen to ours, and I'll, like, skim through ours, you know, to listen to sound quality and stuff like that. Because, you know, let's face it, I hear, you know, the entire episode while I'm on it.
I listen to the whole thing because I got to go do the show index.
You know, and I listen to Chess's show and I listen to Dave Yates' show, and that's it pretty much. I don't have a whole lot of time for other stuff. Occasionally, you know, when you guys bring up how well someone else is doing, like the BSD podcast, I'll go through and I'll listen to a couple back episodes of that, you know, make a point to set a few minutes aside and listen to some of that stuff.
Well, but normally I have an hour and 10-minute commute each way, so I have plenty of time to listen to shows. And I stopped listening to Twit and most of those shows on that network, with the exception of, like, Security Now, because, to be honest, I really don't give a shit about their content lately. They talk a lot about Vista, you know, they praise it. They talk about Mac. I don't care about those things. I don't want to waste my time listening to them. I'd rather listen to other things that are better. No offense to Leo. You know, Leo's a nice guy and everything. I don't care what he's talking about.
That's the old, you know, pound you, Leo kind of talk there, huh?
I'm ashamed.
I bet he'll be devastated now, Pat.
Like, I lost Pat.
Listen, I like security now. It's good for a Windows laugh every once in a while.
But, I have a nice hour commute into work, and I listen to primarily the Linux-based podcasts and games and more entertainment radio, and sometimes IT conversations there and in the gym. But at work is where I put on, like, the Twit casts and stuff like that and some of the comic book casts because if I get distracted, the other one, I'm not overly concerned.
The other show that I listen to is Floss Weekly, which comes out every 3 months.
Well, he has an excuse. He just had a kid.
Yeah, he's a busy guy, and he just had a kid.
So, I look forward to seeing...
I'd like it if it... I'd listen to it if it was on, but it's not, so...
Yep. And then there's Link, who doesn't support all the other Linux podcasts out there anymore. Right. Open News, Linux Action Show, Lug Radio... LIP, Linux Install Podcast, Linux on the Desktop Podcast.
I don't have the time, you know? I wish I did.
You need to make the time, pal.
Well, no, actually, I don't wish I did, because if I did, then that would mean that I would, you know, be doing an hour commute every day like you guys do, and I don't want to do an hour. My commute is like 12 minutes, you know?
I get to go through three different tunnels every day.
Distro Watch podcast has kind of dropped off.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I haven't
come
seen
out
it
in a while. It's not easy doing these shows, huh?
It's got its ups and downs.
Takes a little bit of work.
Yeah. Then there's that Logger podcast.
Yeah, well, they find out after,
never
you
comes
know.
Out anymore.
They find out
no
after,
more. That's because the guy who does that is too busy playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah. They've got a lot to talk about now, but just gotta get out there. Get out there and get going. Get it on.
You can see, you know, with the podcasters, you watch them, right? You see the new guys, they come on and they're all full of, you know, enthusiasm. And they'll put out their little podcast thing. They'll do a 20-minute podcast and they'll do it, you know, five times a week or something. They'll end up putting out 60 episodes or something. And then you watch it, and things start to peter out on them, and they lose a little bit of interest, and it starts to be difficult to find content for them to cover. And, you know, after a month or two of their doing their episodes, things sort of slack off a little bit. The way you can really tell the stick-to-itiveness is by how long they've been doing it, not how many shows they have put out.
Well, we're like the plague, man. We just keep coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The disease. That just won't go. It's a mole that you can't scrape off.
Exactly.
A wart.
Grows back.
You can't burn it off. You can't freeze it off.
We're like cockroaches, man. We're going to be here a million years from now.
Yep.
It's like Wednesday night. Got to do another show.
Away.
What else are you going to do? I don't want to do it.
People are starting to say, what the hell are they possibly going to talk about tonight?
Man, that's what T asked me. T got on the instant message today. He's like, what are you guys going to talk about tonight? And I'm like, I got no clue.
I don't know.
Anyway, it was just basic. I don't know if it was comments a while back. Someone said, these guys plan out their podcast too much. It's all scripted.
I remember that too. Yeah,
I was like, yeah.
I almost peed my pants reading those. I was like, "You're kidding me,
scripted,
right?"
Yeah. our 2 minute prep session before we actually get on the.
I have to give props to one show that I think is as resilient as us, if not more, and that's Bin Rev, man. Those guys, you know, they just keep going, man. Thank Dog and Black Ratchet. Those guys do a great job.
Oh, yeah. Hats off to them. That's another show I listen to in the car. Bin Rev does not go on the computer at work.
And I'm not just saying that because they stream us. It really is a good show, man.
No, yeah, you're right. They are. And Twat.
What'd you call me?
Hungry? For dinner? Hungry Man. Oh. Yeah, but that's the way it goes. Levelator. Two thumbs up.
Sounds good, Dan. It's a good deal.
Hey, you know what? Big news. This, I don't know if it was when this actually came into play, but I think they finally pounded in the last nail in the coffin for all of MP3. Did you read about that?
No. What happened?
You cannot refill your credits at all of MP3 anymore using anything that works through Visa or MasterCard. The only thing left that you could refill your credits with, I think, is a card from JBC, which is a Japanese card. So, you know, you can't get money or credits over to MP3, all of MP3 anymore. So you can't order anything from all of MP3. What are you going to do? And they're cracking down on their, like...
You're going to have to do what I do, and that's go out and buy your damn CD and rip it, you know?
That's it.
Put it on your music server.
Well, you know what? I've come upon some CDs
it's a good
that
way to do it, though.
CD players.
Right.
Some CD players, which is a pain. You know, it is a good way to do it. I mean, if that's the way
well, it's real good because then you never have to worry about the RIAA come knocking at your door.
Oh, I thought
you know what
you
I mean? They knock on my door
the
and they say,
you're getting MasterCard and Visa to block all of MP3.
No. I'm talking about ripping your, just buying the damn CD and rip it. You never have to worry about the RIAA knocking at your door because if they do, you just, you know, show them your big ass CD collection and. Tell them to go down sand, I guess.
Yes, people keep asking whether all of MP3 takes PayPal. I don't believe it does. I'd have to ask my wife. She's used that service in the past.
Do they take that other service, the British one? I forget the name of it.
I don't know. I know she used to have like some kind of like dummy card that you can go online and, you know, dump money into this dummy card so you don't have to give out your credit card. But I think that
yeah,
service,
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think that service used something like Visa or MasterCard or one of those, and of course that's blocked. You know, the thing, while I don't agree with the ethics behind all of MP3.com, they were a top-notch service.
You like the implementation of what they were doing?
Yes, I mean, that had all the content, any format you wanted. Any machine you wanted to pull it down with, you know, and the actual, you know, implementation, the interface was, I've had no problems with it. It delivered exactly what everybody would want out of an online music service. The downside was they couldn't do it in a, you know, in a way that would compensate the artists appropriately. You know, you know what should happen? Steve Jobs should put his money where his mouth is and buy all of MP3.com and use that service instead of iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he says we shouldn't have, you know, we should abolish DRM in the music, he should reopen up all of MP3.com. You know, fair charge for each song. I understand that so that the record industry gets a cut, the artist gets a cut, that's fine. And, you know, that's perfect. None of this proprietary crap, stuff that you can only run on an iPod or use through a certain interface, you know, that's what he should do. Put his money where his mouth is.
Free the media.
Yeah.
Make it usable for everybody.
Apple should start a campaign.
As we hear the little utopian music and the birds chirping in the background, you know.
Instead of all of MP3, it could be Apple's MP3.com.
Free the music.
Woo! Now, why didn't they think of that? You know what? Tomorrow they're going to come out and they're going to say, we are revitalizing all of MP3.com, changing the name to Apple MP3.com, and we are going to take over the service, and we are going to do it right. Because it was Apple's
idea. That would be a great idea. You know, I'd love to see somebody do that.
Yeah.
Love to see. And you know, the thing about that is Apple could probably pull that off because they have the clout where they could make their own deal with the artists. You know what I mean? Like they can sidestep the RIAA and make their own, they're big enough they can make their own kind of deal with the artists to put the music up there.
I don't know. And, lately, you know, Steve Jobs has been out there talking about, you know, he doesn't want DRM, blah, blah, blah. I think it's all smokescreen, man. Actions speak louder than words.
That's getting people interested, and if it gets somebody interested enough to do something about the horrible problem we have with DRM, then that's a good thing, you know, regardless of whether or not you like Steve Jobs.
Speaking of DRM,
somebody worked up enough to do something cool.
All this high definition content now, a lot of it has protection, copy protection on it. They have this implementation called 5C, which is like almost like a broadcast flag kind of deal, where you have devices that are acceptable. For instance, high definition televisions and cable boxes, and these high definition DVD players. They all implement this. I talked a little bit about it on my blog, you know, that we had legislation for the broadcast flag get shot down a while back. Well, the industry has gone on and implemented it on their own. So all those companies, Microsoft, Apple, you know, Hitachi, Sony, they've done it for us. If you go and get digital cable, you get high-definition cable, some of the premium channels, like the HBOs and stuff and the movie channels, they have encryption on them. So they have the copy protection. So if you have MIT-TV and you want to, like, you know, record those, say, a movie or whatever, you'll get a nice black screen when you're doing the playback. Just a heads up. All the other channels, though, they all record, okay? But the ones that implement this 5C copy protection scheme, you're not going to be able to record them.
Cool. Well, I guess...
Great stuff, huh?
Thank goodness for
it depends on whether that's a hardware implementation on the TV tuner card that you're using or a software
implementation. I think it's a combination of both.
If it's a software implementation, the open source people will code around it, for sure.
Well, it hasn't been coded around.
Well,
not yet, anyway.
We have hard HD cards for TV tuner cards right now. Has that technology been implemented already, or is that coming down the pike? I mean, if you have a card right now that decodes it, how's it going to? How are they going to be able to make
it? It's on there, like. If you take MIT-TV right now and you have like a high definition cable box, and you try to record a movie of say of like HBO, it won't work.
Do you have high definition cable, HD cable?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for you.
Well, I don't have MIT-TV set up yet for this.
Oh.
But I talked to Dan Fry from The Lug, and he was telling me about this. He tries to record like some of the shows like on those channels, and they'll just get black screen. Most of the channels don't have the copy protection, like all the standard cable channels, and even some of the high definition channels too, like HDNet and like ESPN HD. They don't implement that. It's just the movie channels like HBO, Showtime, HD, those channels. It's in the hardware. Kent says it's in the hardware. 5C is also known as HDCP. So, all the new hardware has it now. High definition TVs, the DVRs, the DVD players, cable boxes, satellite boxes. Good stuff. Thank you,
Nifty.
Everybody.
Nifty.
Yeah, I think.
Hey, I wanted to bring up one thing.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. If you have something still on this subject,
no,
go ahead.
I was going to say, it gets kind of, you know, it's kind of annoying sometimes with regards to all this, particularly TV programs. Like, I can understand that a company, you know, NBC, ABC, any one of those channels, or even HBO, doesn't want to see that their content gets dumped out on the internet and pirated or anything like that. But
the over-the-air channels, man, they don't have this protection. Like,
right,
you know,
but on the same token, like I like Lost, right? And I went out and bought the Lost season 1 and 2 on DVD, and I'd like to see season 3, but I'm halfway into season 3. Now I have a choice: I can wait until the DVD comes out, or I can download it off of iTunes, I think. But I don't have iTunes, so I can't watch the older episodes. So my other option is to BitTorrent it, but that's not. You know, they don't make an option that I can actually go with. I have to pay for the iTunes tax, which includes either a copy of OS X on an Apple machine or a copy of Windows. Damn bastards.
Just as a caveat, it all depends on each individual system, whatever your provider is. You know, some cable systems might not have it implemented yet,
but it's in the pipeline if they don't?
That's the operative word right there, yet.
You know, RCN, which is one of the local cable providers over here, on the premium content channels for high definition, it's on there.
Yeah, it sucks.
So I don't know about Comcast and the other stations, but I'm sure, you know, they're in the process of implementing it.
Steal it while you can. All right, Link, you were saying?
Man,
it's time shifting.
I just wanted to make a quick comment that I haven't been able to make for the last couple of shows.
Well, that's it for tonight, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Got a letter email from Jeff Jackson, one of our listeners. Says he loves the show, especially the shows that are just us guys. He really appreciates listening to our discussions about how we use Linux. It feels like he's involved in the conversation, which is fun. He has a neat idea for some of those episodes. He wants to know, how about a listener contribution time where the listeners, you listeners, could send in pictures of their systems like GeekPron, and then we could give them a call and spend a few minutes discussing how they use Linux and why they prefer it over other options. And I think that that's a wonderful idea. And I wanted to run it by you guys and the other listeners and see what they thought.
I like how you did that. You would run it by us online while we're live here so that if we had a differing opinion that we'd look like jerks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that's I have no problem with that.
Exactly.
I think that's a great idea. Pat might disagree.
Well, that would be Pat. Can't do nothing with him, you know.
What do you think, Pat?
I don't know.
My concern is what Alan would actually think.
Yeah, but you know, you probably have a lot to say about that.
Pat,
he's the critical one.
Yeah, are you serious? Like, you don't know, or what's your opinion?
I don't know.
Ah, Pat's got the dissenting opinion. What don't you know, Pat?
I don't know anything. That's all I know.
Ah.
I do my thing, and I just keep going.
There you go, people. Pat doesn't care what you have to say. He's just into his own thing. That's fine. Sounds like
I think that's a good idea, and I think, you know, we ought to get some of you listeners to jump up to the bar and send us some stuff in and let us, let us maybe do that. Some of you people who are interested in sharing your geek prawn.
We'll have to do it.
Fun.
Anything else for the good of the cause? We're about out of time.
That's it. That's it here.
Prepper map shoutouts?
We got a couple. We've got, Andrew Krauss from State College, PA, who's going to be a guest in a few weeks. He's writing a book on GTK development. And he went on the Frapper map and registered himself. We've got Terry Love from London, England. And I think that's it.
Oh, yeah, and a long round of a podcast we were mentioning. We forgot the Jack Attack. Or Jack.
Did Jack Attack? Oh, yeah, I got to listen to that.
There you go.
Are you still doing Linux these days?
Because Kelly Penguin Girl is, you know, awesome.
Yeah, he's still doing. He's also playing around with, I think, OpenBSD, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, dun-dun-dun.
Yes, indeed, our good friends.
BFD. It's good
to
know. The BFD.
All right, so guess that's it for this week, huh?
I guess so. Next week we're going to do a Just Us episode, so you better think of some content to talk about.
Next week is the All Alan episode. All Alan
again,
all the time.
Alan's got some hardcore fans, man.
Yes, he does.
A lot of people.
For someone who has said 15 words in the entire 3 years that we've been on. I tell you what, he's got rabid hardcore fans.
That one week where you were busy with work and Dan wasn't feeling well, he talked up quite a bit.
Yeah, he was talking right along, just like he had been doing it for 3 years, you know?
I didn't have to hit him with the cattle prod at all.
Yeah. Well, I hope Alan will be back
very
next
chatty.
Year.
Yes.
Yeah, you get him off the microphone, he don't stop talking sometimes.
Yeah, you put him on the microphone.
I'll talk before the show starts, and then once the red light comes on, he clams up.
Got nothing to say, yeah.
All right, should I play us out?
Do you have a song to play, Dan?
Yeah, I have a song to play. I heard, I'm ripping off Bin Rev last week. I really liked the song they played at the end of their show, so I'm going to play it on our show this week. It's Get a Life by Emergency Pizza Party. Nerdcore, if you ever heard of them. I thought it was a hilarious song. Might not be safe for work or younger ears. It's a little bit of blue language in there, but nevertheless, I thought it was pretty good. So if that's it, I'm going to play us out.
Do it.
Do it to it. Here we go.
Good night, everybody.
Emergency Pizza Party,
good
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Covered in turds. Everybody on the BBS knows you suck. And stop feeling up on my boyfriend's butt.
Yeah.
It's time for you to get a life, but you don't care. Cause you're getting more blaze than the average bear. Put your panties back on, we don't wanna see that. Don't flaunt that red-haired baby rat.
Why you got me spitting on this? Benjamin Bear sounds like a bitch. Skip this track, I'd rather smoke crack. Compare me, yeah, that's fair. 110% better than B-Bear. I'm the one that brings the flair. Benjamin Bear, a hit and miss. I'd rather drink a jar of piss.
Your music is poop. Your music is poop. Your music is poop. We're wrapped in the poop.
Benjamin Bear, why do you hate nerdcore? Benjamin Bear, he's covered in cold sores.
Well, if you don't like it, then send the track back. Don't be flipping on me, cause my music is whack. I didn't know that I was so disliked. Maybe I should just put down the mic.
Benjamin Bear, you need to get a life.
Yo, B-Bear, time to make you a bitch. Red hair, so we burn you like a witch. You got a smaller dick than any bear should. This track gives both BB and Shellwood. Oh, does it burn? Does it sting? Does it hurt? All the good stuff and darks that came from Rainthirst. Does a bear shit in the woods, you might ask? Not B-Bear, he shits on the track.
Benjamin Bear, you need to get yourself a life. You need to stop hitting rocks from the crack pipe. You've been hurting nerdcore from day one. Your raps are poop and your beats are dumb. But I don't give a fuck, I'll diss your own beat. Oh, look, you've been banned from the nerdcore documentary. It's gonna be a fault if we lose on fight. Mm-hmm. Suck B Bear, you need to get a life.
Your music is poop. Your music is poop. Your music is poop. We're wrapped in the poop.
Benjamin Bear, why do you hate nerdcore? Benjamin Bear, he's covered in cold sores.
Well, if you don't like it, then send the track back. Don't be flipping on me, cause my music is whack. I didn't know that I was so disliked. Maybe I should just put down the mic.
Benjamin Bear, you need to get a life.
Hanging tough like a new kid on the block. Benjamin Bear, he be giving no fuck. You're a stupid dumb cock. You can't even make this mic rock. Trying to bust the flow, you're a nappy asshole. You put the nuts in the nuts, asshole. Don't even try to rap. You're a nerdcore pussy, change your maxi pad.
Make way for the worst in the game. Benjamin Bear, I'm sitting here for lame. I got the worst rhymes and the worst beats. Mumble feeling bad in the dirt cold team. Put the back down, Ben, you know you can't rap. Sound retarded when you rock that crap. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that you're the worst in the land. Give up hip hop, never start a champion.
You Conan O'Brien, Obi-Wan looking motherfucker. You call yourself a bear. Benjamin Bear, you suck.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
That's it.
It's over.